This is the home of Jerry's Percentages.
You stop with the f***ing booing.
Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050. Making your drive home a lot more fun.
Ain't nobody gonna tell me how to live.
Overdrive, TSN 1050 and TSN.ca. Derek Taylor filling in for Brian Hayes alongside Jamie Noodles McLennan and Jonas Siegel dropping by for our friend Jeff O'Neill, who best wishes out to Jeff. Hashtag blessed, hashtag 3-day weekend.
Wow, check let's the IR. See. He is on the IR, backdated, so you know he doesn't have to sit out any games maybe next week.
He can return on Monday?
Can return on Monday, but I would love it if somebody found, like, snapped a photo, like, if he was out and about type of thing and just snapped a photo. You know what I mean?
When you leave the house, when you're on a sick day, I get super self-conscious if I have to leave the house. Because
yeah, but you can go to the Loblaws and get some chicken soup.
But you have to go in a certain state of dress and right. walking at a certain pace, right? Like, you right. can't be happy-go-lucky sick guy.
Can you be at the LCBO? Like, what happens? Like, where are you allowed to be?
The LCBO, I could give you a pass because maybe you go pick up, like, some whiskey and you're just going to get it out of your system. Like, you're going to... You're gonna drink it out of your system at home.
We have different doctors, you and I. Mine would say medicine. Yours would say whiskey.
No, okay. I'm saying is that, you know, a lot of alcohol kills a lot of germs in your body somehow. Yeah. And I'm just saying that you could drink it out. That's if O went to the LCBO, I think he's fine with that. But if he's sitting at like a Scooter's Tavern and... you know, having a drink and having a time.
Yep.
But when does it expire? Like, could he go out tomorrow? Or does he have to stay in all weekend?
No, it expires tomorrow because the flu goes, it's a 24-hour cycle.
Yeah.
So he's fine. But if he gets spotted at 7:30 tonight at a Scooter's Tavern,
yeah,
then there's a concern. But outside of that, LCBO, Loblaws, anywhere else you can, you know, you have to take care of your body, and I'm talking about either soup or like get it
or whiskey.
Whiskey to get it out of the old fashioned.
Whatever your cure is. My cure was McDonald's, so whatever your cure might be, he's gotta be taking part in his cure. And O-Dog, if you somehow are listening, we do hope you do get better. Plenty to come in this 5 o'clock hour. We're gonna talk with Jack Armstrong, our TSN NBA analyst, as the Raptors are just unbeatable at home, going for 12 in a row tonight when they host Portland, which is a very nice team. Haven't lost at home since January 3rd. We're going to talk plenty more about O.J. Simpson because Noodles and I lived it, and Jonas is living it vicariously through us, and I've read the books.
I lived it. I just didn't really know. Like, I was like, who's this O.J. guy? What's this about? Like, I remember watching it and not knowing what the Bronco was. I was like, why are we? What is this? What's happening?
It's still isn't that the most crazy story that the guy was in a slow speed chase, not a high speed chase.
Yes.
We're going to drive the speed limit down the highway, and the cops shut down the highways. Didn't they interrupt like at the NBA finals?
This is where my story comes in, because that night, it was May whatever it was of 1995. I went to a Nylons concert in Calgary.
Who?
Exactly.
Nylons. They're outstanding.
Canadian a cappella supergroup, the Nylons. And I went in. I got to see what the score of this Knicks-Rockets final is. Pop into a restaurant. There's some white Bronco on CNN. And I'm like, oh, whatever that is. I just left. I didn't know what it was. But it became such a huge thing that our friend, even Ray Ferraro, must remember this vividly. Ray Ferraro on TSN Overdrive, a presentation of Sierrasil Joint Formula 14. And presumably, Ray, when it happened, OJ was dealing with some joint pain. So now you know what I really forced that one right there. But he could have benefited from some Sierrasil 14, I would suspect.
He could have benefited some medication to calm him down.
Yes.
I was in LA, or rather, I was in New York watching that thing. And like everybody else, you know, I don't even know how I started watching it. But
you couldn't stop.
I couldn't stop. I mean, the truck was going nowhere. I mean, it was going 10 miles an hour.
I know.
Like when they were writing about the chase, you could have run beside it.
That's why I said the slow speed chase. It wasn't a high speed chase. It was, you know, the car was in neutral and they were pushing it along the highway.
And I remember, you know, I remember just about, you know, everything from that trial that, you know, you could get from being a casual observer. Of course, if you know if the gloves don't fit, you got to acquit. I remember sitting on my couch when they were announcing the verdict. You know, it was right after practice in the East, and I remember watching it and like, innocent.
Yeah.
Seriously?
I know.
I don't know anything about the law, but holy smokes, like innocent.
Blood, and if you cut two people's heads off, you should probably go to jail.
It's just. Were you with the Rangers or were we together?
Rangers.
Yeah, that was your first year with the Rangers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just remember being on Long Island, sitting on my couch after practice and being in shock, like jumped out of my seat saying, like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't believe it. And then I was worried that if he was convicted, there would be riots, like another Rodney King situation.
Absolutely. 100%. Because we watched the LA riots play out over CNN as well, right?
I know. It was crazy.
You watched Reginald Denny get beat up.
Yes, the brick across the face and pulled out of that truck.
And, I mean, as much as, Ray, can I say that we're 3-0 in favor of convicted, you know, guilty of murder. Will you be the fourth member of our jury that says guilty?
Oh. Yeah.
The nation, it would have exploded, and it might not have been hopefully not where you guys were, because it would have been awful.
Yeah, it would have been.
I remember when the verdict was announced, and almost strictly down racial lines, how people observed the verdict.
Right.
Yeah.
It was a dividing moment in the United States, for sure.
Yeah.
And, I remember a lot of it really clearly, and just much of it just being like, you know, smack your head, like, really? Like, that just happened too? I mean, if somebody, you know, I'm sure it's somewhere, but if you transcribed how they, you know, like, you know, swinging the golf, I was taking practice swings with my golf club at 10 at night. Oh, and then the limo driver showed up. And,
yep.
You know, like, I love golf. At no time do I ever stand outside at 10 at night
with
my wedge.
And when your hands are coated in blood, Ray, you can't really get a good grip, right? Like, that's a hook waiting to happen.
It could slide on you.
That's absolutely true. Let's talk a little hockey with Ray Ferraro. And the one thing I was left with from yesterday, we're going to talk about Dion's return, but what was Henrik Lundqvist doing shoving the net off quite so violently after he got trucked by one of his own teammates?
He should have been mad at his teammate. I don't know why he was mad at the ref. I think because he was yelling to the ref that he was shaken up and the ref couldn't hear him, so he just turned around and flipped the net over. But I don't know. Noodles, you seen that?
I thought he believed that he was run over by an opponent. And not his own player.
Okay.
So that
he was wrong.
He was completely wrong, and he maybe have been a little bit dazed on the situation and flipping out at the ref, like, how can you not call a penalty on me getting run over? But all he needs to do is take a look up, and the Jumbotron will play it 38 times. The
adrenaline is pumping.
I know, but right? I'll tell you guys a story of a meltdown I had in the minors.
Ooh.
But have you ever had any type of, like, you know, smash your stick or anything? Like, have you had anything close to that? I mean, I believe I've seen it, but do you have any stories of you having a meltdown where it's still fresh in your mind where you can tell?
Yeah, one night in Hartford, I thought I got tripped on a breakaway. I get back to the bench and I slammed the door and it bounced open, so I slammed it again. And the play blew down at that time, and I was yelling at the ref, and I slammed it again, and I must have slammed it. I'm going to say I slammed it 5 times. The last three, the play wasn't on, so, like, it was quiet. And finally, the ref gave me a misconduct. He was 100 feet away, and so I had to feel shame, open the door because it finally locked, and skate across the ice like an idiot, and sit in the penalty box for 10 minutes, and my coach was boring a hole in me over there. Like, but I just kept slamming the door like a 4-year-old. I don't know what I absolutely clear as day.
Well, Ray, did you hear Babcock last night?
Oh, yeah, his comments?
Yeah, what's the craziest or the angriest you've seen a coach get on the bench? And what's it like when you're sitting there on the bench for that?
Well, the craziest I've seen, I forget, who was the coach that threw all the sticks on the ice in Detroit?
Oh.
Was that Robbie Fatorik? And then he threw the bench out there,
too? Yes, he threw the bench. And then he should have thrown a sweater because he wore a sweater vest all the time, too, but he didn't. He left that on.
That's the craziest I've ever seen on the bench, like a coach snap on the bench at an official. The coaches I had, well, I guess the most animated was Joel Quenneville. But,
yeah.
You know, but he was,
he's had some good ones.
Yeah, he's taken it to another level, though, now.
Well, the one this year when they had the goal called back was great. Do you remember that one? I think it was a Hossa goal where he was ruled.
Yeah, it was against Arizona.
Yeah.
It was against Arizona, and Hossa, Louis Domingue's stick kind of got caught in Hossa's leg and kind of got turned, but it was a clear goal.
Yeah.
Like, even I'm saying, it's a clear goal.
Yeah.
And they overturned it, and Joel...
He lost his mind.
If heads could explode in real life, like his would have exploded right there.
I mean, there's not been a bigger eruption no more than the crotch grab.
Yeah. The crotch grab.
He actually
when Joel jumped up on the bench and
he grabbed his
He went right to the junk. Okay.
What did he get? Did he get 20 grand?
He got in trouble for
that.
Yeah,
I think he got 20 or 25 grand.
Has Babcock been fined yet?
He
should.
He will be, I imagine.
And you know what, Ray? I'm going to bring that. We'll get back to this conversation, but that was a pick by Komarov last night.
Absolutely,
and it was a soft pick, but it was still a pick. Do you agree?
I didn't realize, or I didn't quite, I wasn't quite on board with they were robbed, like he said.
Right.
You know, I didn't quite see it the same way, and I think a little bit of that is. You know, now he's got some more young guys. I think he'll be more aggressive and protect his team a little bit more. That's what I thought of it.
Right.
Because all of a sudden, he's going to show indignation. I mean, there's 18 games left. He hasn't done it all year.
Yeah.
And so to me, there's you know, Mike is pretty calculating and pretty smart. And I think, and my opinion was that he was going to protect his team. You know, he's got a young team now, and he's going to protect them.
Which is just a genius move because, I mean, when you watch that, and I finally got to see it this morning. I wasn't quite paying attention at the time, but he throws his arms up in the air in a traditional soccer move of, I'm not touching you, but you've clearly just touched me and run me off my line. And then the distraction, I take the soccer again, but Manchester United was run by Sir Alex Ferguson forever. He was the best. If one of his players goofed up, he would jingle some shiny keys at the media. He would say something completely outlandish, get fined, and the attention. Nobody asked Leo Komarov about blowing the game, right? You're a veteran journalist.
No, but I just don't understand.
Who does great work for the Canadian press.
But I just don't know. Like, no one's being hard on this team. No one's looking at them saying, why aren't they winning? Like, I've always
laying
wondered,
the foundation,
Ray,
though.
Yeah, maybe. But, like, Ray, I've always wondered from Mike, he's never lost like this. How is 2 years of this going to be for him? Like, at some point, isn't he going to, I don't know.
I think that the giggles you see this February from Mike won't be there next February.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question. I mean, he came into this with his eyes wide open. He knew it was going to be what the year was going to look like. He clearly knew what the plan was going to be and what this season was going to play out like. But what if they're no better next year?
And they won't be, right?
Right. Well, I don't see how they are. They're going to be different.
They're going to be young.
Yeah, and they're going to have a – look, I wouldn't be surprised if they have a season that kind of mirrors what Arizona's done.
Right.
You know, they came out of the gate. Remember how good Arizona was in the first half?
Well, Max Domi and Duclair were up. Were
and then they just ran out of gas.
Hit
they're
the wall.
Young guys.
Right.
And I could see that for Toronto. And I could see that not being, as much. I don't think there'll be as much story time next year. You know, I think each year it's going to get ramped up a little bit.
TSN NHList Ray Ferraro joining us on Overdrive on TSN 1050. Jaromir Jagr tying Gordie Howe in points, and I can't believe I'm saying someone's tying Gordie Howe in points in this era of hockey. 1850 now. Ray, where does Jagr finish? Does he get to 2,000? Can he possibly get there?
He's 150 short?
Yeah. And he's 150 years old.
Yeah, geez. That's 40... No, he's not going to get there.
How, like, he...
Yeah, it's another 2-3 years. It's tough.
Well, I think it's three. If it was two, Jamie, I could see it.
Yeah.
Maybe, kind of.
No, I couldn't.
That would be 75 points a year.
Yeah, no, it's you're right. It's 3 years from now. Yeah, it's 4 years. You're right. If he's a 40-point guy.
You got, what, 16, 17 games left this season? Yeah.
But he's not a 40-point guy this year. He's on pace for, like, 60 points.
I know, but at some point, I think they're going to have to, in Florida, push him down in the lineup. Like, that's right. You know, I'm just trying to think it. Because I think Florida's starting to turn a corner. That Barkov, and I know those guys love to play with him, but there's going to be a point where, you know, it's just I don't want to say the legs will fall off, but it's, you're going to have to limit his minutes in certain situations.
Well, I think what the determining factor will be, Noodles, is like his legs are just not going to carry him anymore.
Right.
Eventually, it's going to happen, because if you remember the last couple of years of Nick Lidstrom's career,
yeah,
it wasn't the same as it was even like the year prior, and right. He knew that, and so he started to play a little different. And for Jágr, you know, you can play a little different, but you can't play that much different when you're a forward. You still have to get to an area to shoot the puck or to make a play. You know, Lidstrom became even more of a defender, less up the ice, you know, less involved with the offense as he got older. I don't know. I can't see, give him 50 points a year. That's three more years of that. That's assuming he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah.
And he plays, you know, he plays at the level that he's playing now, which is just remarkable that he's been able to do this.
Yeah. And you hope he can come back at the age of 70 and skate for the Detroit Vipers or something after a couple more seasons, because however long he is willing to let it run, it has been fantastic. Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, thanks so much for being with us on Overdrive.
Jonas, good to have you back.
Thank you, Ray. Good to be on.
And is Ole sick?
Yeah, he's
on the IR.
How come he's on Twitter?
Yeah, like it's the Apple Store.
There you go. Ray, we were discussing, like, what can you do when you're on a sick day? What's acceptable? What's not?
If you turn in a picture like that, that's okay.
Yeah,
like that dude with the sandals and socks, solid look.
I know, but it's like, what are you doing at the Apple Store? That's my concern. You know, you're out shopping, unless you're getting chicken soup next door to the Apple Store.
That very well could be.
Ray, yeah, O's getting chicken soup. O's getting fries and a burger.
Ray, before we let you go, FNUF, what reaction is he going to get tomorrow in his return to Toronto?
I think it'll be okay. I don't think it'll be, unless I'm totally wrong, I don't know why it would be a boo every time he touches the puck. I think his, whatever people thought of him, I'm curious if it's been tempered a little bit by the way his teammates have talked about him since he's been gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, which was extremely positive. I think it'll be a mixed reaction, but I don't think it'll be, you know, it'll be a cascade of boos.
Well, we're waiting to see it. It's the Senators visiting the Leafs, and it's tomorrow on TSN 1050. Thank you so much, Ray. Ray Ferraro on TSN Overdrive, a presentation of Sierra Sil Joint Formula 14. It's Overdrive on TSN 1050, TSN.ca, and the TSN Go app. Derek Taylor filling in for Brian Hayes alongside Noodles and Jonas Siegel on this day. Any Black Street, No Diggity back there? Maybe we got that coming back to break. I don't know if that fits in with the tenor of the show. If Hayes is a big Black Street kind of guy, but that there's a glimmer of recognition. You remember?
I'm fine with it. You are driving the bus today. You can request whatever you want. And Jonas,
I'm curious,
throw it out there too.
But I'm curious why that song. That's an interesting track.
There are just certain songs. Growing up in a small Alberta town where everybody was either white or white Mormon, I felt a real connection to Blackstreet. I have a real connection to these rappers. When I saw Straight Outta Compton, I thought, that's my life. That right there. Honestly, I have absolutely no idea why for some reason I identify with rap music, and I don't know what it is. Because there's nothing in my life that would say, hey, you and Ice Cube, you guys are like, you're bros.
I was 20 years old, went to a Public Enemy concert in Richmond, Virginia.
Yes.
That was a scary.
Did you raise your
myself.
Fist in solidarity?
No, I was, I stood next to security in kind of a little luxury box. I was playing for the Richmond Renegades at the time, and what's his name? Chuck.
Chuck D.
Chuck D. came on and was. He had some choice words, and I was like, I could be in the wrong place here. I was a little nervous, but it was a hell of a concert. I enjoyed it.
Did you guys see Straight Outta Compton?
Of course.
I did. Loved it.
To see that story now, when they get arrested for singing Blank the Police, police rush the stage.
Yeah.
You played exactly into their hands. This is what they wanted. This was amazing. How could you guys be baited by, I thought this was free speech. It's not quite the United States of Trump yet. Come on.
I was an NWA fan as well. Legit.
How did we get to
their albums? Yeah, I had their albums, yeah.
How did we get to that, though? That in no way reflects my life.
No, but it's
none
just,
whatsoever.
It's how society's changed. We look at it now, and the stuff 20 years ago, and you're like, how the hell could people, even think that way or act that way or conduct themselves? We're talking about OJ. That's
people
the epitome
are voting
there.
For Donald Trump. People are still acting that way.
Yeah, but he's headed down a certain path, and he's after a certain vote, and they're backing him. That's what it is.
Yeah.
He's not people think he's a dummy. He's actually not a dummy because he knows exactly what he's doing there as far as who he's trying to get a dynamic of vote.
I object, Your Honor. Yeah, but
you think he's a dummy?
I think he absolutely is.
Well, I'm not.
Are you going to buy Trump steaks if you could?
No.
Are you going to order some Trump vodka?
No, but what Jamie's saying is he's crafty in the way
that he's trying to become president.
You can't argue that his campaign hasn't been a success. It's been disgusting. But he's winning.
I would argue if this is the equivalent of my job is to get us into the first round of the playoffs. This is not something that will win Trump the Stanley Cup.
Right.
He'll squeak into the playoffs.
I get that point. He's getting the nomination. But all I'm saying is that he's acting like a dummy, but he's getting the right, he's got the backing that he knows exactly where to pinpoint. That's my point.
He's targeting the worst of Americans, but can you go far enough in that? And when he does not win the presidency, what are the reciprocal effects on it? I'm never going
it's
to a
really
Trump
bad.
Hotel. If there's something that has the whiff, I'm not playing Donald Trump the board game anymore. I'm throwing that thing out. There's no chance.
Yeah.
No chance. It's 529 on Overdrive on TSN 1050. And from the Air Canada Center, we're happy to be joined by NBA on TSN analyst Jack Armstrong ahead of the Raps and Blazers tonight across the TSN network and TSN1050.ca. Jack, voting Trump or no?
you remember the show back in the day, The Gong Show?
Yes.
That's what it is right now. And I'm an American, and I'm embarrassed to be it right now. It is a complete and total joke. And I watched a little bit of it last night, and thank goodness then I got ready to watch Golden State, Oklahoma City Thunder. But a complete joke. And I feel bad for the guy Kasich. Because he seems like the only guy with half a clue, and he's got no shot.
We always love the guy who pulls at 1 or 2%, right? Because Ted Cruz is weird, and Marco Rubio had that thing last year where I'm going to slink off camera and get this bottle of water, and then he seems like a bizarre cat, too. So, Jack, I do not envy your choices coming in 2016. We, on behalf of Canadians and the three Canadians in this booth, I apologize.
Well, I don't know if you realize, I live in Lewiston, New York. Literally, my back is the Niagara River. I'm about 600 yards from Queenston Heights, Ontario, a few miles from Niagara on the lake. So if you see me in a boat on November 5th, 2016, just kind of, maybe in a raft, coming across and saying, I'm here for good, you'll know why.
Hey, I tell you what, though, whoever's writing the Donald Trump running for president movie, like that primary, Jamie, you're a movie guy, Primary Colors, John Travolta as... as Bill Clinton, whoever's writing that movie, I will be first in line.
It's interesting you mentioned that. I mean, it really comes down to LCD, lowest common denominator.
100%.
And that's where he's going to, and it just goes to show how many morons there are out there.
And oh boy, I just can't wait to see as this progresses because it's already gone way further than I thought it would. Toronto Raptors, Jack, 11 straight wins at home, going for number 12. Tonight against Portland, and when I think of the Raptors against Portland, I think of two amazing backcourts going toe-to-toe.
Oh, I'm excited about this game tonight. I mean, it was a fun game a month ago today, if I'm not mistaken, in Portland, and it was fabulous. to see, you know, Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum against Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. So, you know, you're talking about four of the, you know, guys in the league that are just elite guys in terms of that position. And, you know, two of the three best backcourts in the NBA. So it should be a fun night.
Give me what you like about Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum, the great duo in Portland.
Well, the thing I really like about Lillard is just what a great leader he is. I was chatting with their Portland Trailblazer coaches just before, and they were all raving about just how much he has matured and grown here over the last few years and how he's taken ownership of what's gone on here. I mean, they've pretty much gutted their roster, with the exception of him and McCollum, of primary guys that were going to play. And he's handled it beautifully. I mean, he's a tremendous in screen and roll. He's improving big time, shooting the ball. He plays hard defensively. And he's just a guy that can make all the plays. And he's got great dribble moves. And he's just a fierce competitor. And then McCollum is a guy that you better guard out behind the arc. And even though, you know, don't be fooled by the book by the cover routine. I mean, he's a little skinny, but he can get his game off, and he's a relentless competitor as well defensively. So they complement each other really well. And you know, the thing that the Raptor guards had, I think, the last time they played, you know, just a little more polish, a little more experience to me compared to Portland, but this is a great, great backcourt.
Jack, do you think, and I never thought I'd be saying this, but should Dwayne Casey be the favorite for Coach of the Year?
I think two of the guys in a building tonight,
right,
would be odds-on favorites. Terry Stotts, Dwayne Casey, and I think the third guy would be the guy that coached against the Blazers on Wednesday night in Boston. That would be Brad Stevens. So
yes.
If I were voting, it would be one of those three guys right now. Obviously, selfishly speaking, Coach Casey, I've seen the job he's done here progressively in his 5 years in Toronto. So how could you not be impressed with what he's done here? And once again, has taken his team to a next level compared to where they were a year ago. So I'm really impressed. Brad Stevens' team is going to be a tough out to deal with. They really guard you on the perimeter. They got great quickness, good cohesion and chemistry. And then Portland, I mean, just an incredible. I mean, I don't think anyone in the league, I think people thought that the Blazers might be worse than the Lakers this year in the West, that they could be, you know, one of the three worst teams in the NBA. And now, right now, they're sitting pretty good in terms of having an opportunity to make the playoffs. If they stay healthy, they're in the Western Conference playoffs. It's remarkable.
Well, but what do you think specifically has changed with Casey? Because there were all the rumors before after last year and everything that happened. Is it defense? Is it bringing in Biombo? Is it bringing in Joseph? Like, what has changed that he is now a Coach of the Year favorite after kind of being, you know, having his job in jeopardy last year?
Yeah, but I think he's done a really good job even last year. I mean, I just think it was a bad fit roster-wise for what he's about, and he did the best job he could with that roster, getting 49 wins out of them. But when you get into the playoffs, it's hard to win the way they were playing. And you could see that the league was starting to catch up to them. I'm a little concerned right now defensively with where the Raptors are at. If you look at their numbers in the month of February, you know, they've tailed off here a little bit. So, in my opinion, they have to, you know, recommit a little bit more to being consistent on that end. And a game like this will be a good test for them tonight, playing the Rockets here on Sunday. Even though the Rockets have struggled, they got tremendous offensive firepower, particularly James Harden. And, you know, so, you know, that's got to be there. But, you know, when you look at the Raptors and where they're at right now, I felt going into the season that they probably wouldn't win 49 games, that they'd probably have a few less wins. And, you know, you have Valanciunas missed a whack of games, and Damari Carroll has missed, I don't know, 70% of the games that they've played so far. And here they are with, you know, 40 wins and 19 losses. So, you know, a lot of that credit in terms of establishing new roles with four new players and getting these guys to truly buy into a certain style of play comes right at the feet of the head coach.
TSN NBA analyst Jack Armstrong joining us from the Air Canada Center, prepping for the Raptors and Blazers coming up tonight on TSN 1050. Jack, we got you on the line. I got to ask you about people are, I don't know, outraged, fake outraged, that LeBron James had a couple of days off and he went to Miami to work out alongside Dwayne Wade. Legitimate beef or mind your own business?
I think it's mind your own business. Who cares? I mean, a lot of people go to Miami on off days, and that's one of his dearest friends. It's not like he practiced with the Miami Heat. I mean, if he did that, that'd be
amazing.
That'd be a major issue. But he didn't. He hung out with his friend, his dear friend, and I don't have a problem with it at all. And if they're out to dinner, out to lunch, who cares? Today's professional athlete is different. I mean, a lot of times they're represented by the same agent, or they have the same guy who's cutting business deals for them in terms of commercials and all those types of things. And I just think that whole thing is a load of nonsense.
Noodles, weigh on this. I mean, you were an athlete forever. As people, some people outside of sports want you to be all about your sport 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To me, that seems ludicrous. What do you make of LeBron?
I have no problem with it because he's allowed to do anything he wants the minute that he steps off the court. If he's a true professional and it looks to me like he is the way he conducts himself, you're allowed to have a personal life. And that's the thing that bothers me. Is if he missed practice or was late getting back from Miami because he was out having a good time, that's a different situation, kind of like the Evander Kane thing in hockey. But
yeah,
he went to visit a dear friend. He worked out. He was being a pro, and he's back in time early for practice because that's how big of a pro he is. I have no issue with it whatsoever.
Well, and on top of that, I'm sure as you guys know, they're not going to practice till he gets there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like when I was coaching and our best player was late for the bus, I would make sure I stood outside the bus and I had my back turned to the door, and I would tell, I'd get into a phony conversation with somebody and say, when he shows up, we'll just act like we're in the middle of a conversation. Just give me a wink, and then I know I can get on the bus. Now, if some other schlep was late for the bus, we'd leave him. But the best guy, we don't start till he gets here.
Yeah, and LeBron is the star.
We all notice we're not all equal, right? Yeah. Come on, he's the meal ticket.
Exactly. You can treat everybody fairly, but you don't have to necessarily treat them equally. Jack, so 7-game homestand. This will be game number 2. Raptors going, they now, at this moment, 11 straight home wins. How high can they run this up? It's Portland, it's Houston, Brooklyn, Atlanta. How high can they run this up in your mind?
I think that based upon the type of team that they have, they could have a chance to win every night. I don't know if they'll win every night, but they do. They're good enough to beat any of these teams, particularly at home. On the other hand, they're also capable of losing 6 in a row here at home. I mean, they're that kind of team that their margin of error when they play, and I'm not sure if they understand that, but I know Coach Casey and his staff understand that. When these guys kind of put it in cruise a little bit, they can be beaten by anybody, and we've seen that this year. On the other hand, and we've also seen this, they can play with anybody in the league. You look at how they've played against Golden State. Even though they lost twice, they played great against them. Spurs 1-0, Thunder 1-0, Cavs 2-1, Clippers they're 2-0 against. They get the fourth best overall record in the league. On the other hand, they've gotten swept by Sacramento, Denver. They've lost to Utah. They've lost to Phoenix. So. It all comes down to just that consistency that you're trying to find that you're in search of.
Blazers and Raptors on TSN 1050 tonight. The pregame with Taddy and Watson starts at 7. Tip-off at 7:30. Also available across the TSN television network. Jack Armstrong, thanks so much for being with us on Overdrive.
Guys, I don't know if you noticed, Taddy is like a big real estate mogul here in TO. I'm walking by him in the hallway before he's cutting deals. So I said, man, you're like the Donald of TO.
Oh, no. Taddy has way better hair.
Yeah, he has a little way more intellect better. Than our boy the Donald. But by the way, are you guys going to vouch for me for citizenship? I've worked here for 18 years, so you would hope that they'd let me in.
If you allow me to keep saying garbage and double D on SportsCenter, then I will vouch for you for anything.
I can't wait. Oh, Canada!
There you go. Thank you so much, Jack.
All right, fellas, have a great weekend.
It is Overdrive on TSN 1050 and TSN.ca.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog. Your drive home just got a lot more fun on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
I like the way you work it, no diggity. I got to bag it up.
Bag it up.
I like the way you work it, no diggity.
No diggity.
I got to bag it up.
Bag it up.
Black Street, no diggity. TSN 1050.
Let it breathe.
Oh, you gotta. There's so much interesting stuff to talk about with you guys. No diggity.
We pretty much had a whole segment yesterday with what was the name of that guy yesterday? Frank Stallone. We played this guy. Oh, didn't know that Sylvester Stallone had a brother.
Yeah.
And then we discovered he was a music guy and
music guy. Frank Stallone is not replete with talent, so that's...
Well, he had neither is Sylvester.
But Sylvester's got that one note, and he can bang that note for seven movies. Creed was outstanding.
Yeah, I enjoyed Creed.
It is Overdrive on TSN 1050. Derek Taylor filling in for Brian Hayes. The Leafs, of course, losing to the Wild last night. Leo Komarov took a penalty. The resulting power play goal. Mike Babcock infuriated by it, and it wasn't really calming down afterwards.
I was disappointed tonight. I thought we got ripped off big time today. You know, two teams played real hard. There wasn't much to take between the two. I took a penalty. We shot one over the glass. We took two others. They couldn't find one. I don't get it. It makes no sense to me. And the other thing I know is that the people didn't pay to watch them play. Play to watch the players. Don't get involved in the game.
And Mike Babcock is going to pay for the privilege of having said those words to open microphones. A fine is coming for that, right?
I would think so. And in
robbed? You
the,
can't
the
say
thing
robbed.
You can't say is ripped off. You
ripped
can't.
Off, pardon
that's,
me.
You, yeah. That's going to get you a ding.
I chuckled when I heard him say people don't pay to watch the refs because I don't know how many times either a player or a coach has said that when I've been either on the bench or behind. You know, a linesman will go in to drop the puck. And he'll kick a guy out. And the comments that gets, hey, we're not here. You know what? We're not here to watch you be a hero. Just drop the puck.
Yes.
Like guys go bananas. But that's, you know, it's used to have that give and take between the refs and the players. Now it's there's a real line.
Well, what like, can you say and what can't you say? Like what is the thing you say that gets you
and anything like
popped?
Anything over the line swearing. You know, the FU type of thing.
Yeah.
The refs will give it right back to you. That's not a problem. But you cross a line with some other verbiage outside of the...
The Bull Durham. It was the CS you couldn't say.
Yeah, like certain things that you could say and certain things that you couldn't.
Yeah.
And it's and, you know, some old school refs, I loved it. They give it right back. And you know, they're engaged in the game. They're a part of the emotion of the game. But... It's almost like, and I hate saying that because it dates myself, but the new school guys, they're cut from a different cloth. And
yeah.
it's you know, they want to establish that they're the guy out there. I'm not going to take any garbage, you know, regardless if you're Mike Babcock or Joel Quenneville or whatever, this is my game. And, you know, that give and take isn't there as much, which it kind of makes me sad because I still like the gamesmanship of it.
As a fan, I want the officials to be detached from it to a certain extent, because for me, and tell me if you guys think I'm out here, if it's a penalty in the first minute of the first game of the season,
right.
It's a penalty in the last
Agreed.
Minute of overtime
I
of game seven.
That. You make a great point.
And I want someone to be able to, I want them to know, well, actually, you know, I just want them to call it the same all the way through.
Consistency. Is,
I can't stand when we hear during a game, like, they're putting the whistles away. What? Yeah. What? Like, the calls are the calls. If it's a penalty, it's a penalty in the first minute or the last minute.
But you know what? I have no problem with it unless it's just got to be consistent.
Well,
on
if you're
sides.
Starting the game that way,
right.
Okay.
And maybe that's Babcock's biggest point because Komarov, to me, I want what he did. He clearly throws himself in front of Charlie Coyle and angles him away. I want that kind of stuff out of hockey and let skill players be skill players. But how many times do you think that happened in that game last night?
It happens 20 times a game.
And it gets called once.
And that's what Komarov said. He said it's like that's a hockey play. It's a bad call.
But the you know, it's funny, and the only reason I'll bring it back to Babcock is Detroit is they're known throughout the National Hockey League of running picks. Like Detroit's one of the dirtiest teams in the league. I'm not being facetious. I'm saying they're a team. Dirty's the wrong word. They
crafty?
Are crafty. They are cagey.
Interfering.
They accidentally on purpose this, and it's they are very, but they're very good at it. and they get away with it because they run these subtle little picks. They do things that get close to the line, but never over the line.
Well, I think it was the same thing in football with the Patriots. I think it was a thing with their cornerbacks where they were going to really rough you up.
Yeah,
because the refs aren't going to call it every time, right? Like they're not going to call you.
It was the Seattle Seahawks, and they were Sherman and company were going to beat on you and
beat on you
because they can't call it every time. And the NBA, I'm going to travel because they're not going to call it every time. I'm going to set moving screens all over the court because they're just not going to call it every time. Overdrive continues through the 6 and 7 o'clock hour. We'll have Scott MacArthur from training camp. James Duthie joins us as well in the 6 o'clock hour.